Tonight, I want to give you a sermon and a setup. Okay? So I'm going to preach a specific sermon tonight, but then I want to set up for something that we're going to be teaching a few weeks from now. We're going to be going deep into the seven feasts of the Lord. Okay, specifically the fall feast. Now you may be like, I don't even know what you're talking about. And that's okay. Some of you do, because I've talked about some of these things before, taught on some of these things before. But we're about to look specifically at the fall feast. And in short, let me just tell you this. In Leviticus 23, God gives his people Israel seven appointed times, seven feasts, seven festivals that they're supposed to celebrate every year on specific dates. And I want to tell you right off the bat, okay, remember I'm giving you a setup. The seven feasts of the Lord are a prophetic timeline of God's redemptive plan of salvation. For example, there are four spring feasts and there are three fall feasts. Jesus has fulfilled on this eternal timeline, prophetic timeline, he has fulfilled the spring feasts in his first coming. He will fulfill the fall feasts at his second coming. We're going to talk more about that. I'm so excited. That's all I can tell you for now. Okay? So let's jump into tonight's material. You guys ready? Tonight's sermon that I want to share with you. I want you to listen, because I'm going to make a statement right off the beginning. Okay? Listen, once we become believers, once we put our faith in Jesus, which is the most important thing in your life, right? I mean, you're not even a believer unless you've put your faith in Jesus, right? You're not a Christian until you put your trust in Jesus. Once you do, once you establish that relationship with Christ, the next most important thing in your life is your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay, listen to me. We've been talking about this. I was about to go off. I was like, okay, no, we've already talked about all this. Okay, so think about it. The Holy Spirit is our helper. Okay, so what Scripture says, he is our helper. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit, again, for several weeks. I almost went off on a little sermon. I'm like, no, we've been talking about this, okay? Listen, with what we've been saying is without a relationship with the Holy Spirit, you're not going to grow in your relationship with Jesus. The Holy Spirit has to be a major focus in your life, in your walk with God. Now listen, okay, here's where we're going tonight. The very next highly important, super crucial thing in your life is community. Not as many amens on that as we had on the Holy Spirit. I don't know what that means. Listen, without stronger relationships with other believers, you won't grow in your relationship with Jesus. You won't get to where you want to be. In fact, my sermon in a sentence tonight, super simple. It's this. A stronger relationship with Jesus is a byproduct of having a strong spiritual community. Write that down. And the title for the sermon, you guys know I like to give a title as well, is this. Practice makes perfect. Practice makes perfect. A stronger relationship with Jesus is a byproduct of having a strong spiritual community, biblical community. Did you guys know that? That being connected to a strong spiritual community, a solid biblical community, is as important in your life as the Holy Spirit. Now, don't weird out, you know, by that statement. I'm not saying that, you know, that people are divine. We're not, you know. You're not, right? I know I'm not divine. But because our spiritual community is where we practice and express the work that the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives, it makes it super important. Amen? Think about the gifts and the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Where were we supposed to express that? Right? Where are we supposed to work that stuff out? In community. Galatians 5:22 says that the fruits of the Spirit, or the evidence of a growing relationship with the Holy Spirit, is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. Every one of these fruits are characteristics that you practice and express with others, right? I mean, you can practice maybe some of these by yourself, you know, like patience. There's times where you need patience. Like when you go to take a shower and you turn it on and you got to wait 10 minutes because the hot water heater's on the all the way on the other side of the house. And you're like, or the kids used it all. That's a whole nother level of patience needed right there. You guys hear what I'm saying? But the primary point of the fruits of the Spirit are that they are practiced and they are expressed in community. A strong relationship with the Holy Spirit causes you to love people more. It causes you to be gentle. It allows you to have self-control and to be kinder. All the things that we need in order to develop and build healthy relationships. Think about the spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, but in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says that to each one, each believer, is given the manifestation of the Spirit, talking about spiritual gifts, when the Holy Spirit shows up in powerful ways through these specific gifts that he lists. And he says that these spiritual gifts are for the common good. The common good of what? The common good of spiritual community. The common good of people. Are you with me?
Amen.
He goes on and he says, to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another is given the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. And he lists faith and gifts of healing, effecting of miracles, prophecy, distinguishing of spirits, tongues, the interpretation of tongues. Every one of these spiritual gifts are for the common good. They're for others. They're for people. Like a word of knowledge. You may not know what a word of knowledge is. Maybe you've never heard any teaching on this. A word of knowledge is knowing or seeing something about someone that the only way you could have known or seen that is if God showed you. It's so private. It's so personal. I'll give you an example. Brother Bob comes to Brother Bill and said, man, I was praying the other day and all of a sudden I got this picture of you standing in a moving wagon, and you were just standing up dancing, and then all of a sudden the wagon shook because it hit a rough patch, and you just fell right out of the wagon. And Brother Bill goes, whoa. Brother Bob says, man, I don't know if that means anything to you, but I've been praying for you. And Brother Bill says, you need to know that I've been sober for 5 years. But I lost my job during COVID-19. And I've been so down, so depressed, so discouraged. I started drinking again. They call that falling off the wagon. And so God showed you, because I need help. Will you help me? And Brother Bob's like, let's do this. Isn't that awesome? Anybody ever experienced anything like that? Yeah. Aren't you glad for spiritual gifts? Thank God for spiritual gifts. I mean, again, some of these can be personal and happen only to us. You know, we can experience a healing personal. We can pray for myself. Lord, I pray for my elbow. It's healed. Or we can ask for a miracle and God has a miracle. You guys, I get that. We get that. But the spiritual gifts are for the common good. They're for others. They are practiced and they are expressed in spiritual community. Are you following with me? Think about this, the whole new covenant that we walk out. If you're coming to physiology, week number two, class number two, I do a teaching called Covenant Walk. The whole thing is about what it means to walk out the new covenant with others. Okay? I'm telling you, you need to sign up if you haven't already. But think about this new covenant in Christ Jesus. The whole thing's about others. Isn't that what Jesus said? A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Even as I have loved you, that you would love one another. Now, what Jesus isn't saying is you need to forget the Ten Commandments. You need to forget about those. You need to forget about all the sundry laws that you find in Exodus 20 and 23 and all that stuff. That's not what he's saying. In fact, you need to go back and read those. And what you will find is all of them are about others. They're about how to walk out and live out community in a healthy way with others. All of it. He's not saying let's get rid of that, right? When he says a new commandment I give to you, he's saying it's time to bring our definition and our pursuit of righteousness back to how to love people. Somewhere along the way, you know, the religious leaders added hundreds of extra laws and tweaked some of the existing biblical laws, making righteousness almost like some sort of a contest. Jesus is saying, you want to win? You want to win? You want to make the Father smile? Love one another. Get this others thing right. What's the number one fruit of the Spirit? Love. Right? Where do we practice and express love? Community. And patience and kindness and all that. Yes, community with others. I'm telling you, biblical community. Your spiritual community is just as important as the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. And God designed it to be that way. Again, somebody might be like, man, I don't know if that's the... Think about it. Think about losing weight. You want to lose weight. And so you start working out. Well, don't you also have to adjust your diet? Yes. People would be like, while they're chomping on Kentucky Fried Chicken. You know, they're scooping up the ice cream. I'm working out. No, it takes both. Intentionality in both areas. If you want to see the change, if you want to become what it is that you're wanting to become, you have to apply all the appropriate things, right? A stronger relationship with Jesus is a byproduct of having a strong spiritual community, biblical community. It's impossible to grow in your faith without the Holy Spirit. We've established that. So I'm not telling you something weird doctrinally. It's impossible without the Holy Spirit. But I'm telling you, it's pretty darn tough to grow in your faith without a solid spiritual community, okay? So let's do this. If biblical community, if spiritual community is one of the most important things in our lives, how do we know when we have it? Like, how do you know if you have that type of relationship in your life? You know what I'm saying? What is it that we're looking for? So what I want to do is I want to give you 7 signs of a solid spiritual community. You can write these down. 7 signs of a solid spiritual community, but I'm going to lump them into 3 categories, okay? So it's going to look like I only have like 3 points, and so I'm going to kind of work through these quickly. But I'm going to give you 7 signs of a solid spiritual community. Excuse me. Thank you. Number one, signs of a solid spiritual community. People share your faith, your vision, and your values. Now, these are things that should be prominent in the life of every believer. If you're here and you follow Jesus, you've made that commitment, you've been born again, these should be prominent in your life, your faith, your vision, your values, in the life of every believer. That's why as a church we've established and we communicate our vision and values the way that we do. Very simple, very clear. We post them and talk about them when we can. It's because we believe that all of us should share in these things together, that we should all have the same faith. Let's talk about our faith. What's our faith? Simply put, we worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You ever thought about that? Is that not a true statement? Whoa, wait, we're not Jewish. You guys. Jesus was Jewish. And Jesus worshiped the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Is that not true about our faith? Amen. It is. We don't worship Muhammad. We don't worship Buddha. We don't worship Santa. Right? We worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Listen, we trust in his son, Jesus, for salvation. We believe that he's the only way to the Father. Amen? And we depend upon the powerful work of the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, to bring about God's good pleasure and will in our lives. Now, listen, you have to ask yourself, how sold out to this faith am I? How sold out to that am I? And let me ask you this, how many strong relationships do you have with people that are as sold out to that as you are? Spiritual community should share a similar vision. Now, at Soma Church, our vision statement is to help people choose the way, know the truth, and live the life of Jesus Christ. Choose the way is talking about evangelism. Like, we want to introduce people to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? Help them choose the way, evangelism. Know the truth is about discipleship. We want to help people grow in their faith. We want to help people discover their spiritual gifts. We want to urge them on towards good deeds and godliness, that the fruits of the Holy Spirit would increase in their lives. When we say we want to help people live the life, we're saying we want to help people grow and continually experience the righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4 talks about living a life worthy of the calling. That's what we want to see. That's the vision for our life. Amen? Amen. And notice that this vision, it's not about an organization. It's about people. These things are about people. You see that? Listen, this is how we express what the life efforts of every believer should be about. And every church has some way that they voice their, you know, vision and their mission, okay? Every church has a unique way that they do that. But listen, what I'm telling you is at the end of the day, this is the business every believer should be about. So you got to ask yourself, does my vision for my life look anything like that? Most people never even think about it. That's why I'm talking about it. Hopefully it is. And then let me ask you this. How many strong relationships do you have with people that are as sold out to such a vision as you are? Super important. Spiritual community should share similar values. Now, Soma Church has shared values. We call them shared values. We have 7 shared values, and I don't have time to cover them all, but let me show you a couple of them just to give you an idea of what a value should look like, because our values in our life are what drive us. Values are like the bumper guards in bowling. They keep you out of the gutter. You hear what I'm saying? So a couple of ours, like one of them is transformational truth. We value teaching the Word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit, believing that it is the only thing that can bring about true change in our lives. Who are the people in your life that truly value that? Who are those people? These are the people you need to be spending a lot of time with. You hear what I'm saying? Talking about God's Word. Learning how to apply God's Word. Everybody look at me real quick, because I want to give you a by the way. By the way, if you are a seasoned believer, you've been walking with the Lord a while, and you've heard so many good sermons, especially if you come to Soma Church. But listen, and you've heard sermons, you've heard 20 years of sermons, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years of sermons, 30 years of sermons, and you've been a part of every Beth Moore Bible study, and you've watched every David Jeremiah video he ever put out, and you whatever, whoever your person is, you've got years of sermons, years of Bible studies, years of small group experience. It's time for you to give. It's time for you to teach. It's time for you to lead. A life group, a Bible study. Man, at the very least, have a heart for discipleship to help people know the truth and invite 2 or 3 people out for lunch. Just get them there. And then open your mouth, because we're told that when we need the words of God, he'll bring to remembrance everything. Because that's why people don't do it sometimes. I don't know. What would I say? I don't know. It's like, are you kidding? 30 years of sermons and studies. It's in you. All you got to do is put yourself out there. The good stuff's going to come out. Doesn't mean you have to have every scripture memorized. I don't have every scripture memorized. There's like two or three that I don't have memorized. You know what I'm saying? All I'm trying to tell you is it's time. It's time. The world needs you, but you know what? The body of Christ needs you. The body of Christ is anemic when it comes to the word of God. If you got something to give and you're not giving it, you're almost a thief. Dang, you hear what I'm saying? I just went there. You're stealing, you're robbing from the body of Christ. Because you have this treasure laid up in you. And you got to go give that treasure to people. Anyway. Where were we? Let's cover one more. Authentic worship. That's one of our values. One of our shared values. Listen to me. Authentic worship. We value genuine encounters with God that produce life-changing results. When we come to worship together, we're all practicing and expressing our worship, right? Constantly learning how to give God more and more praise. Being challenged and learning how to give him more and more of our heart in worship. And listen to me. The authenticity of that worship and the impact of that worship depends upon those who lead. Right? Yes?
Yes.
And those who participate. It just does. Notice that I said participate. I didn't say spectate. You know, our worship teams prepare spiritually and musically, and they give all this time. They work hard. Not so that the congregation would spectate, so watch them do their thing. No way. Their one desire is that everyone in the congregation would 100% focus on God. How you doing with that? I'm being real tonight. Is that okay? I've had COVID for 2 weeks. I got to get real right now. How are you doing with that? Do you come ready to praise and worship God? Ready to participate and practice and express your worship? Or are you experiencing a good, you're expecting a good worship experience? I hear people say that. Well, I'm just really looking for a good worship experience. First of all, worship is not an experience. It's an offering. You might experience something when you give that offering, but if you're seeking the experience, you might forego giving the offering. Worship is not an experience. It's an offering, and it's one that only you can give. You're the only one that can give that offering. Man, my worship at my last church, man, it was terrible. Whoa. Be careful. Make sure you didn't fail to bring something authentic yourself. Am I challenging you tonight? Listen, and it's important to ask yourself this too. Who are the people in my life that love to bring a sacrifice of praise to God? Do you have people in your life that love to bring a sacrifice of praise to God? They were glad when they said, "Let's go to the house of the Lord." Who are those people? I can't help myself. I'm going to do one more. Permeating relationships. It's one of our shared values. We value friendships that go beyond superficial into the realm of supernatural grace, allowing us to experience life together both in celebration and in suffering. Yes. That's what I'm talking about right there. You guys hear what I'm saying? This is spiritual community. This value is about others. Right? We're not satisfied with fake smiles and floppy handshakes. You ever get floppy handshakes from people? Hey, how you doing? you know, and it's this whole, we're not into that. We want friends that we can tell the hard stuff to. Isn't that we want? What we want is at least what we need, whether we want it or not, it's what we need. We're not going to be best friends with 100 people. We all get that. We all understand that. But there will be a few people who we know we can go to and that we can count on. Maybe people in your life groups. Maybe some friends that you serve with on one of the serve teams. But bottom line, people, these are people that share these values. Selfless giving, intentional discipleship, missional living, excellent ministry. These are all about promoting a godly life in people's lives. Building up and empowering the saints, right? How many of you share relationships with people that share these kinds of values? This is important. This is something that we rarely assess. Who's my spiritual community? Who's my biblical community? And yet, next to the Holy Spirit, it's the most important thing in your walk with God. I'm telling you, every believer has to have people in their lives who share your faith and your vision and your values. This is part of biblical community. This is part of spiritual community. Let me go ahead and give you the second one. People seek and submit to spiritual authority and accountability. A sign of someone that you're in solid biblical community with is someone that seeks and submits to spiritual authority and accountability. In other words, these people you spend most of your time with should be people who understand and value and lean on the influence of other people, godly people in their lives. Are you with me? It's about to get ugly.
Oh, no.
Listen, I believe that every believer should have 3 to 5 people in their lives that they have intentionally given permission to encourage, challenge, and correct you. It's a personal belief, personal conviction that we need people in our lives that it encourages. Well, yeah, I have people encourage me all the time. You got anybody that's willing to challenge you? Not just to go for your dreams, but to call you out, that kind of challenge. Or to correct you when you're being a moron. I'm telling you. Listen, it's, I don't know if you thought about this, but this is actually built into your life if you're committed to a local church. It is. In Hebrews chapter 13, the writer says, obey your spiritual leaders and submit to their authority. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. I'm accountable to God to some degree in your life. I'm accountable to God. That's why I get up here and I say hard stuff to you all the time. Because if I don't, God's going to be like, why'd you have that tape on your mouth? I was scared to pull it off. What if somebody didn't like me? God's like, I don't like you. No, he wouldn't say that. He wouldn't say that. I mean, he wouldn't like that I didn't do what he told me to do, but my point is, they are accountable to God. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit. Don't you love that? Hebrews 13. Listen, I believe that every believer should seek out a healthy church, okay? And by healthy, I mean that they're trustworthy and they're about the Father's business. And listen, I also believe that every believer, once they find that healthy church, and they're like, I love that church, they should make a commitment to that congregation. Now listen, notice I didn't say make a commitment to that pastor, or make a commitment to that budget, or make a commitment to that project, or to that organization. I said to the congregation. You're making a commitment to the people. Because that's the common good your spiritual gifts are going to be used in. These are the people that you're going to display and sharpen yourselves in the fruits of the Spirit. And listen, I also believe that you find that healthy church, you make that commitment, you also have to set a healthy pace of practicing and expressing the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. What I mean by that is it doesn't mean you have to be up there every night of the week. Doesn't mean you got to serve every weekend. Doesn't mean you have to weigh yourself to the bone. That's not what I'm saying. A healthy church should watch over you and say, bro, you look tired. How many times are you serving?
Every day.
You know, like, take a break. That's why at Soma we have rotations, weeks worth of rotations. We try to create a culture of rest. You hear what I'm talking about? Listen, part of that practice and expressing in the body of Christ is submitting to accountability. This is one of the this is one of the primary reasons people will go to church, but they refuse to belong to a church. There's a complete difference. You hear what I'm saying? They don't want to be held accountable. I've seen it for 20-something years. They don't want to be challenged or corrected. Listen, I'd say easily 8 out of 10 times that someone has left Soma Church, it's because someone, somehow, somewhere, tried to correct them. That's my experience. Good people, people you love. Love them. They just aren't teachable. They can't take correction. And that's not the pastor's issue. It's not the elder's issue. It's not even the congregation's issue. That's their issue. Amen?
Amen.
How do you view spiritual authority? How do you handle accountability? Again, we have to ask ourselves that. If you're going to be a Christian, if you're going to be a believer, if you're going to grow in your faith, you got to ask yourself this question. How do you handle accountability? And what about the people you surround yourself? Can they take correction? Look, the people that you hang with, are they teachable? Are they people who seek and submit to spiritual authority and accountability? Number three. Number three. Some signs. This would actually be 6 and 7. Signs of a solid spiritual community. People are sold out to your provision and protection. Now listen to me. Really, I wish I would have written this different now that I'm standing here. People who are sold out to the provision and protection of anybody. Not just you. Like, that's their heart. You hear what I'm saying? What do I mean by that? It means they want people in their community, people in the kingdom of God, people in the body of Christ to be fed. That's provision. To be fed physically, like with literal food, hot dogs, hamburgers, right? But also fed spiritually. Paul says in Philippians 4, he's talking about himself. He says, I've learned to be content regardless of my circumstances. I know how to live humbly. I know how to abound. I am accustomed to any and every situation, being filled or being hungry, to have plenty or have need. And then the famous verse, probably didn't even know this was connected to this, but he says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Anybody know that one? Listen, when Jesus gives his followers strength, how does he do it? Through the comfort and counsel of the Holy Spirit, or through the concern and the commitment of our community. That's the way he works it out. That's the way he takes care of it. That's how he makes all things. It's how he gives us strength. That's how he spurs us on towards good deeds. And God, honestly, you see it all over the place, not even just the New Testament, the Old Testament. Through concern and commitment, or a congregation gives us strength. Listen, I gained 10 pounds during COVID. Why? Because I have a congregation filled with concerned people. Concerned that my family and I are getting what we need. You hear what I'm saying? Y'all fixed us all these rich meals full of carbohydrates. Now I'm paying for it. I'm well fed. Thank you very much. I believe that Paul was able to make it in every season because the believers came around him and loved him by practically taking care of his needs. What they are, you can read it in his letters. He's always writing about people and giving examples of how so-and-so helped and so-and-so brought this and tell so-and-so to bring this, and people are coming around him, helping him. So it's not like everything was this miracle. No, the miracle is people. Are you hearing me? You can say it this way. Say this: I'm a miracle. Not until you do something, all right? Are you generous in this way? Paul experienced the generosity of people. Are you generous in this way? Are you ever concerned with someone else's needs? And are you committed to help when and however you can? Again, assessment night. Is that part of who you are? And are the people around you sold out to that kind of generosity? Because this is something that you should find in solid biblical community. Amen? Amen? Let's talk about protection real quick. This is about having people in our lives that understand that we are in a war and that every day is a battle. You guys know what I'm talking about? And they also understand that this battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against spiritual forces, dark spiritual forces in heavenly places. They get this, and so they pray, and they intercede. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
They get this. They understand. This is the flesh and blood battle. Do you have people in your life that you could text or you could call, and you could say, I'm struggling, man, something's after me? And not only do they say, yes, I will be praying for you, they say, let's pray right now. If you don't, you need those, right? People who are in the fight with you. And you know it because you can feel their prayers. You've heard their prayers, right? I don't want to, you know, you to say you're praying and not pray. I want to hear you pray. Y'all practice that right now. Yeah, I'll be praying for you, brother, if I have time. Listen, you stop. It's 30 seconds. Let's pray now. And whatever it is, you lift that prayer up. Talk about winning. Talking about making the Father smile. Man. But also, someone who is willing to deal with flesh and blood. Sometimes the flesh gets crazy in the church, doesn't it? Got people gossiping. Got people talking about you. Some, you know, Billy Bob comes up to you. Man, did you hear about Giorgio? Whatever. You're like, no? Everything all right? Well, he robbed another bank. It's like, Giorgio, he's never robbed a bank. Are you sure about that? And you say, you know what? Why are you talking to me about this? I will cut you, you know? No, seriously, people in your community need to understand Matthew 18, the biblical way of doing things. I don't know why you're talking to me about Giorgio. If you think Giorgio has sinned, you need to go to Giorgio and say, brother, I believe you've sinned. And if he has and he doesn't respond, then you can take me and we can have a conversation. And if he's still acting crazy, we'll kick him out of the church. You know, that's what it says, Matthew 18. I didn't write this stuff, y'all. This is the Bible. Listen, I'm talking about people who build you up. That's what I'm trying to say. People who build you up, not people who tear you down. Someone that protects you from the flesh and blood mess. And we got a lot of flesh and blood in the body of Christ, unfortunately. Listen, people who don't hurt you, people who help you. Biblical community should be people who protect you, not ones that are hurting you and tearing you down. You hear what I'm saying? I'm going long. Let me pause because I have a couple more things. Let me pause and just say, most people boast that they have community. And when they do, they might be talking about their family. Or they might be talking about, you know, their friends at work, their coworkers. Yeah, that's my community, my community. Or their sports team people. Well, my bowling league or my softball team. Yeah, I got my community. And that's great. And the list goes on and on and on about the things that we can identify as our community. But what I'm telling you is that if these people that you consider your community, even if it's your own family, do not qualify as a solid spiritual community, you're going to have to make some adjustments. You're going to have to set some personal boundaries. You're going to have to rearrange and balance out your schedule. You're going to have to make your spiritual community, the people you share this stuff with, a higher priority. I'm not saying dump your family. I'm just saying you got to balance it out in your schedule. And then you're going to have to be more intentional about your witness. Because if they're not those things, who in the world is supposed to get them there? Why do you think you're there? Go get filled up in your spiritual community so that you can pour out in a community that's lacking faith, vision, and values. None of that's easy, I get it, but it's necessary. A stronger relationship with Jesus is a byproduct of having a strong spiritual community. I'm going to stop, and I'm going to teach the rest of this and figure out a way to do it with my other material next week, because we've gotten plenty, okay? I got like a whole page and a half of notes, and man, it's so good. We're going to wait. We're going to wait. I still set you up, because here in a few weeks, we're going to be talking about the seven feasts of Israel. Okay, so I talked about it a little bit. I was going to set you up a little bit more with that, but I want to include it in next week. So for now, let's stand. How many of you are encouraged or challenged tonight? Listen, we're heading into a season. Listen, I do want to read this. Oh, no, I'll do that next week. Oh, man. Listen, I just can't help it. I haven't preached in how many weeks now? Okay. Listen, my encouragement is, you know, I see visitors. I see people that I've never seen or haven't seen in a while. And maybe you're visiting with your friends or your kids, or you're just kind of, this is a one-off visit, but you're actually part of another church. Listen, I'm talking to you just as much. This isn't about Soma Church. This is about the body of Christ. This is about who you need to be and what you need to do in order to grow in your faith. You need the Holy Spirit and you need a community. So if you're here visiting tonight and you just got a great word, take that word and apply it to your church. If you're part of this congregation, get after it. Or if you're like, I don't have a congregation, I need a congregation, why not this one? I'm just saying. Sign up for physiology. Y'all with me? Amen. Awesome. Let me pray for you. Lord, I thank you so much for the way you continually, like that song we sang tonight, the way your heart comes after us. Even when we find ourselves in Sheol, that dark place, when we've lived our lives and we really deserve to burn in a hot place, you come after us. You don't let us remain there. Your love comes after us. When we've laid our head in a deep, dark pit, you pull us up from that miry clay and you set our feet on a solid, firm rock, who is Jesus. Your love runs after us. Your heart never stops beating for us. And we just say thank you. And thank you for the body of Christ. Thank you for the church. Thank you that you've created this wonderful, not organization, but organism that's alive. And you've put us inside of it. You've baptized us into the body of Christ. We just affirm tonight that we need each other. We need a strong spiritual community. And Lord, I pray for anyone that's here that isn't connected in this way yet, that doesn't have a group of people around them, that have that solid faith, that have a godly vision for their lives, that has that those vision bumper rails that keep them out of the gutter. Lord, that if they don't have that, that you would provide that for them soon. whether it's Soma or another church here in Tyler. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.